If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Our text this morning will be Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Romans 4, 9 through 12. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham before he had been circumcised. Blessed is the reading of God's holy, infallible, instructive, and important word to our hearts and souls. Father, you're a miracle worker, and you've worked so many miracles in all of the lives of us who believe, particularly that believing, and particularly worshiping you already together this morning. I beg that you allow us to continue to worship you in hearing your word, to the glory of your holy name through your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. There's an old joke, many of you have heard it, something like this, that the scholastics, the theologians of the 12 to the 1400s, they would argue about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And there was a point to that joke because they were picking everything apart. Distinctions. And with many things, is it that relevant really? Okay. So there's a good truth to that. But if someone takes that and says, oh, that means that we as Christians should just speak in large generalizations only, without deciphering or making distinctions like God is love, don't ask what that means, or Jesus saves, let's not unpack that. No. We just need to speak in generalizations without making distinctions, without clarifications, particularly when you open up your Bible and you read it and say, that's really hard to understand on the first and fifth reading of it. Well, people who really think that way, they will not like the theology of the apostles who wrote the New Testament. And they definitely would not like Paul's epistle to the Romans. And if one has to listen to a local pastor who knows that he doesn't have anything from himself to offer except what's written in a book, the Bible, and therefore he's committed to studying it and explaining it, someone might get bored and say, move on already. My goodness, we got it. You've already preached on justification by faith alone for 8 straight weeks as we've moved through Romans 3:21 to chapter 4, verse 8. But to that I say, Paul who is the pen of God Himself, He continues to make another distinction, to give another lesson through another Old Testament proof and an application to our lives. And so is Paul. He draws us into another application this morning of justification by faith alone, apart from works, in Abraham's life. We who sit here should take inventory of our own lives and ask ourselves the question, is my faith like Abraham's faith? Is my trust in Christ alone the faith that the Bible is talking about? A faith that goes on and evidences itself by its ongoing trust in God's promises and His commands. Whether God commands me to get circumcised, which He doesn't, but He did Abraham, or whether He commands you to sacrifice your only son, Isaac, or whether He asks us to treat me, God, as God Most High, above everything else in the world. The question is, am I of faith? Am I living in faith like Abraham when God speaks? Okay, let's go to the text. Romans 4, start with verse 9. Is this blessing, okay, it's key. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? Okay, the blessing, right, in the context refers to Genesis chapter 15 and Psalm 32 that he just quoted, where he's arguing, here's the blessing. The doctrine of justification, being declared righteous by God and forgiven of all your sins forever, comes to a person by faith alone, apart from any works of obedience to God. In other words, the blessing is we are absolutely forgiven because Christ took away our sins on the cross by satisfying justice, and that God's righteousness lived out through Jesus Christ is put to our account before God forever. Okay. That's the blessing. So that's still his topic. So now his question is that blessing only for ethnic Jews, the circumcised? Or is it also for Gentiles, the uncircumcised, meaning all people groups of the world, all cultures on planet Earth? And his answer is, salvation is by faith in God, faith in Christ alone, apart from obedience. Particularly here, apart from obedience to the law of circumcision. Getting the mark of being a Jew. And therefore, this blessing of justification is for all people on earth who hear the message of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. The salvation that's offered to them. And when they believe, they're justified. Now, the way that the Apostle Paul gets to that conclusion is by turning to Abraham's life in the narrative of Genesis. So let's read verses 9 and 10 again. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised. For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. Question. How then was it counted, or in other words, imputed to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? Answer, it was not after, but before he was circumcised. Now, in reading Romans, okay, Paul, why do you go and choose that example at this point in your argument? Look, my guess is that as Paul, in his missionary journeys, would always go to his fellow Jews in the synagogue first, and he would preach. And so for years, Paul would preach the gospel of salvation in Jesus and debate with his fellow Jews, and he would often hear their response. Paul, to argue that Abraham was justified, declared righteous by God, by faith alone, is not a fair argument, because Abraham existed hundreds of years before the law of Moses was given. Besides that, Paul, in Genesis, Abraham did receive circumcision in obedience to God's command, which shows that he did not only believe, but he worked, or did a work, or performed an obedient act. Something like that is what I think is in the backdrop. And so Paul's response to them, it's his response to any of us who would ever try to say that Abraham's salvation, his justification, it comes as a result of faith plus works. His response is verse 10. How then was righteousness counted to Abraham or imputed to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. So get the biblical picture of his argument. Remember, back in verse 3 here of Romans 4, Paul just quoted from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, in order to show that righteousness was granted to, or gifted to, or imputed to Abraham by faith alone, apart from works, right? He quotes it, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned or imputed to him as righteousness. Okay, that's Genesis 15. Then flip over in Genesis to chapter 17, 15 years after God justified Abraham. God tells Abraham this: as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. So Paul's argument is simple. If Abraham was declared righteous there in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, if he was justified in Genesis 15, long before he was circumcised, then circumcision cannot be the means or the ground or the cause of his justification. Paul's argument from Genesis 15, in other words, is what he is saying, it holds. The imputation of righteousness to Abraham. And the forgiveness of all of his sins, it came before Abraham's obedience to God's command to be circumcised. So when it came to God's free gift of grace, the grace of forgiveness of sins and imputed righteousness, circumcision had nothing to do with it. It was not part of that equation. And that's why he goes on in verse 11 and says, he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. That's Paul's answer to us. That's his answer to the Jewish people. Circumcision for them throughout, which made them, that's what it, they're Jews, Abraham's natural descendants. It was the foundational, basic act of obedience that defined them as Jews. It was the mark. It was the tattoo that they had a special covenant with God. And so Paul's question is then this: did this act of obedience, of circumcision throughout the generations, get them right with God? Saved? Justified? His answer is no. His answer is, your father Abraham, fellow Jew, he was justified not by circumcision, but by faith. Faith alone. Only then, later down the road, then God speaks to his man of faith. Let's put a sign. Let's put a seal of this covenant of justification by faith alone on Abraham's body. Do you see it yet? I think it's fairly simple. But let me say the same. Let me just put it another way now. Just picture it. Abraham, he comes to faith and he's saved, justified by that. Therefore, we know Abraham, by God's mercy, was born again. How do you know? Because the evidence of new birth is faith. He has that evidence. And it is that faith which is the only means or the only grounds of God justifying him, forgiving all his sins, and giving to him a gift of righteousness, a righteousness that's not his own, through that faith. And then God says, raise your family in the covenant I made with you. I'm going to seal your justification, your salvation, with the sign of the covenant. Circumcision in the flesh. And I want, Abraham, I want the sign of the covenant upon your children, your family, your descendants. Okay, so Paul's argument is, just because they then were born into a family with a saved by faith alone dad, it doesn't make them, the children, automatically saved. Because we don't know if they've come to faith. They're not saved just because they were raised with the religiosity of circumcision. Down the road, some of those circumcised came to faith. And they got saved by that faith, not because of circumcision. Like David, and eventually Moses. They got saved by faith alone. That's Paul's argument. Let me try to just give an updated illustration of what's going on here. I, like Abraham, was unsaved. I was not justified. Therefore, obviously, which would come, I didn't have the sign and seal of my justification because I was not justified. I didn't have the sign of circumcision, metaphorically speaking. What do I mean from this side of the cross? I didn't have the signs of the faith that justifies in my life at all. Ask my sister. Like what? Like being engulfed in God's Word. Like being committed to the gathering of the saints, along with whom have also been plucked out of this world. Like being submitted to one another in love. Like pursuing righteousness and repentance and worship. I didn't have the sign of the covenant. And then Genesis 15 happens with Abraham, or then with Joe. God saved me. He brought me to faith in Jesus by new birth before any of those signs of my justification came about. But because I was justified, then those signs came. Down the road, I married that beautiful woman and had kids. And we raised our kids with those signs of the new covenant. This is how we live. This is what we do. Question. We say that Joe was counted righteous by faith in Christ and not by works of church going and Bible reading and obedience to God's commands. Was Joe saved before or after all those lifestyle changes? It was not after, but before his walking with Christ in the obedience of faith. All of those actions of loving the brothers are the signs and the seal of the righteousness and the salvation that Joe had before he walked this path. See it? So what about Abraham's kids? Well, they're very fortunate to be raised up with a saved dad, and therefore to walk and to practice the sign of the covenant. My kids, they were raised up with two saved parents who were justified by faith alone, who have the sign and the seal of their justification by faith alone. That is, a Christian life and habits of obedience on how to walk, how to live. Circumcision, the sign of the old covenant, didn't necessarily mean those kids with that sign were saved. Nor does the only upbringing my six kids had with the signs of the covenant that mom and dad had, nor does that mean they are saved. Signs like, in this house, we do Bible reading as a family 5 days a week in homeschool. You go to Sunday school, and every six-year-old knows the answer to the question. They all do it. Jesus, before the question's even asked, right? They're raised with the signs. The rules that their parents laid down that they derive from Scripture on how to live and what to do in this family Sunday, the special worship day, church day. Oh, your team, they say they're going to play during church service? It's an easy one. We're Christians. We don't do that. They should probably change the schedule if they want you to play on Sunday morning. Sunday is that day of worship. Not if we get to the weekend or decide, I wonder if I got time to go to church. My kids were raised that way. They were raised with these signs of the covenant that this is our identity. Raised with the Ten Commandments. So look at that. That's my kids' culture in which they were raised. They appear, therefore, themselves, while being raised, to have the signs of the covenant of salvation in Jesus. But the point that Paul is making is that those things don't save my kids any more than circumcision saved Abraham's kids. Only God can save them. And they'll know that God did that. How? When they come to personal faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, when they have their Genesis 15 verse 6 experience. And righteousness is imputed to their faith of believing in Christ. And then, and only then, will Genesis 17 come truly. That is, the obedience to God will come as the sign and seal of the faith that they had before the circumcision of joyful obedience in living for Christ. Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The mark, the sign given to Abraham's natural descendants, the Jews, it is a sign that had no part in Abraham's justification or salvation. And therefore, Abraham, Paul argues, becomes the father of faith. He becomes the example of all who come to justifying faith in Jesus, whether they are a circumcised Jew or whether they are an uncircumcised Gentile. Because Abraham got saved, justified by faith, before he received the sign of the covenant, the sign of circumcision. And that obedience to God's command of circumcision, that work, when Abraham did it, it added nothing to his imputed righteousness, to his justification before God, to his salvation. God spoke a promise to Abraham in Genesis 15. Look at the stars, no city lights. Count them if you can, which you can't, Abraham. So shall your descendants be. He was still without children at that point. And Abraham believed. He believed the promise without any works, and he was justified. That's Paul's argument. Today, God speaks the promise of eternal salvation, the wiping out of all of your sins in the cross of Christ. and the imputation of his righteousness and the future resurrection of the dead. God speaks the promise of salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those who believe in Jesus, believe apart from any life change, apart from any works, those persons are justified. They're saved. This is Paul's argument. Slowly read verses 11 and 12. Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Listen to him. The purpose, God had a purpose in doing it this way. The purpose, excuse me. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be imputed or counted to them as well. He was like a Gentile. And to make him, Abraham, the father of all the Jews, of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, like LeMay children, merely say, Jesus is the answer at age 8, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So, I opened the sermon by saying we should take an inventory of our own lives and ask, is my faith like Abraham's faith? Notice that the faith by which Abraham was justified in the text and what Paul gives us, it goes on after justification. It doesn't disappear. And therefore, it goes on trusting God. When God commands down the road, Abraham's faith obeys. And that obedience of faith, like be circumcised, is the sign and the seal of his faith. So one point Paul is making here is that acts of obedience have an essential place in the Christian life. Yes, but what he's driving home, and he's going to get more to that James chapter 2 when he gets to chapter 6, but what he is driving home is this. Yes, obedience, walking with Christ, walking with God the Father, walking with His holy written word is an essential thing in the Christian life, but it is not ever to be seen as the cause of your justification, your salvation, but as the evidence that your faith is real. What he is saying is, don't ever think that the seal, that the act of circumcision saves you. Don't ever think that church attendance and loving the brothers saves you. Don't ever think Bible reading and Bible studies and, well, I get a lot of joy out of theological conversations saves you. Don't think praying saves you. Don't think that obeying the Ten Commandments saves you. Don't think tithing your 10% saves you. That's Paul's point. But having said that, Abraham did do the work of circumcision from a joyful heart of trust in God. Those who are justified by Christ through faith alone, now they live by that joy of faith as they walk with God and His people. For them to belong to the brothers and sisters in Christ's church is their joy of faith. To do good to others is their delight in God, expressed horizontally. To hate their sinful inclinations and to battle against them by the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit is their God-provided new desire. Their resolve to not love the world or the things in the world, in the place of God and His ways, is the inevitable pursuit that flows from their initial faith by which they are already justified. In other words, they don't serve the body of Christ and love fellow believers and battle their sin and tithe and repent and read their Bibles in a legalistic way. It comes from their new life in Christ, their trust in Him. And as we who are believers experience our real, ongoing, joyful love for our Savior, that's a sign. It's a seal of our faith by which God has forgiven all of our sins. At the very beginning of this walk, He has imputed the righteousness of Jesus to us then, once and for all, at the very moment He made us alive, which is simultaneous with faith in Christ to be justified. So I close with, do you live by Abraham's faith? Is the sign, the seal, the mark of walking in faith upon you? That sign and seal of the salvation you had before you had any of these joyful works? Let's pray. Father, thank You for such a glorious example in Abraham, Your ways unfolded in Scripture are magnificent to the eyes of faith. Oh, You are good. May we be those who in some way can understand how could Abraham, when You told him to kill His only son, the son through whom You promised to give him descendants, but he went to go do it. Oh, may we walk with You. May we who are young walk with You faithfully for decades, and we who are now older, may we finish well to the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand.